Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word brought to us by Glenn Colley.
Romans, the first chapter, I want to start our reading in verse 14. And the Bible says this, I'm a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to all them that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, I want to spend just a few minutes dissecting this. Let's start back up in verse 14. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about the motivation behind his preaching, why he keeps on doing what he does. And Paul suffered a great deal for the cause of my Lord. You know that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 describes all the kinds of problems he had while going through his life as a preacher. Why did he do it? And what motivated him? And what kept him pushing on? And can we use these things for our own lives? And I think the answer is yes. Now, get a grip of this. He says, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. What kinds of things to think about with being in debt or with being a debtor? When Cindy and I hadn't been married too long, well, I guess about 3 or 4 years, we were going to have baby Caleb. Now, I was about 24 years old, and we were making enough money to get by. We never went hungry, but I remember telling my mother-in-law we were living from week to week to week and barely had anything to save, probably nothing. And Cindy said, Glenn, we need a high chair. We were living in Pulaski, Tennessee, and I was preaching for the East Hill Church. And we were young and happy, and we were going to have a baby, but we had to have a high chair. And so I went to the furniture store on the square there, Hunter's Furniture. And Herbert McNeese, who now is gone to his reward, was an employee there. And I think he had a role in owning the store. I don't know, but they had the one I wanted. And he was there, and nice man. What a humble man. And he said, now, Glenn, we've got this one, and it's the best one we've got. It's a good, sturdy, wooden high chair. And he said, I think it would make you a good one. I said, I do too, Herbert. I'd like to have that chair, but I tell you what now, you think we could work something out where I could pay a little bit along to pay it out? And he said, well, of course, you can pay for it any way that you want. I don't know what he was going to say. I was his preacher. I guess he had to say that. I don't know. But anyway, he said, sure. And he said, let's load her up. I was just a kid, we were making it fine, but there wasn't anything extra, and so I don't know how much the chair cost. I'm sure it was less than $100, but it was a lot of money back then. So we loaded it up, and I said, now, where would you like me to sign? He said, oh, you don't have to sign anything. Just pay it any way you want to. Well, I was very humbled by that. You know, he just took my word for it. And as quick as I could get that thing paid, I mean, I don't remember just how, it was a short time, and I paid that money. Now, suppose I didn't. Suppose I didn't pay it. I mean, suppose time went on, and I just started avoiding Herbert McNeese and not going around him, because I knew that if I went around him, he'd be apt to say something about the money I owed his store. And how would that be? How long do you think my preaching would be effective? If the rumor got around that Collie doesn't pay his debts. I'm telling you, this is a big deal. When you talk about being a debtor, when you talk about owing something, then we expect something, and we expect to be paid for that. And we expect in ourselves, in honesty, to pay our debts back. I'm very nervous about loaning a friend money. I always have been. Especially if I feel like that he probably can't pay it back. I would much rather give him the money than loan him the money. Because if I give him the money, and I'm happy to do that under some circumstances, and I've done it, but if I give him the money, then our relationship can go on. He's grateful and I'm happy about it and we just go on with our lives. But if I loan him the money and I think he cannot pay it, then suddenly there's a challenge to our relationship. He's apt to start feeling very awkward around me because he knows he owes me some money. And so there are these issues in binding somebody in a debt. Paul said, I'm a debtor. I owe something. I'm a debtor. Am I a debtor to my Lord? You may tell you something funny. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible says that you're not your own and that your body belongs to God. Which is to say, of course, that your spirit, you know, your soul, that's the essence of you. That's who you really are, and that's the part of you which is going to live for all eternity. And your physical body, he says, it doesn't belong to you. I guess your body is rental property. I mean, you know, you just use it for... How long have you been using it? Some of you would say, over 80 years I've been using this body. Well, it's not yours, you know. It never has been. It won't be. It belongs to God. Well, you reckon it's worth to be able to live in this body for the duration of your life? You know, I don't know, you might be saying, you know, if I'd known that, I would have rented a different one. That's not what I'm... Well, you know, do we owe him? Do we owe him? When I think about my life right now as a Christian, I don't relish the idea of death. None of us do. We dread that. We haven't done that before. And when we think about sometimes the process is very difficult going through death. But you know what? Christians don't die the way that unbelievers do. Now, ours is different because we have anticipation of what's on the other side. Now, here's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as we are partakers of flesh and blood, we're human beings. He himself likewise took part of the same. Talking about Jesus. He took part of the same. He became flesh and blood too. That through death, he might destroy him that has the power of death and deliver them, this is you and me too, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What it says is that you don't want to live a day outside of Christ. You don't want to live a day and know that if you die, you're going to go to hell. You live your life in Christ and you live walking in His light and you anticipate heaven. That's a wonderful thing because you don't really have to dread death, at least not in the same way that unbelievers do, people who are lost do. To whom do you owe that? And you know the answer to that. And he says he came and he became flesh and blood so that he could die and so that he could take away the sting of death from us. May I ask you a question? Are you a debtor? Now, I know the answer is yes, of course. And I know what you think about owing somebody. I know what you think because you're honest. You know that's an integral part of Christianity is that we pay our debts. But how can you pay back that? See, because that's where you come to. That's the next thing. I say, oh, I mean, I am a debtor. He owns my body and he lets me live here and he blesses me with all these blessings, physical and spiritual, and he blesses me with his son. He gave me a son to die so that I could have eternal life and I've got this confidence. But how do I pay it back? How are you going to pay that back? The fact of the matter is, when you think about being a debtor to the Lord, you can't pay that back. You can't. And you think about what I think of as the infinites. The infinite things. Think about the commands in the Bible that are infinite in scope. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Can you do that? Now we understand what that means is that I've got to influence people as many as I can to the best of my ability for the duration of my life. That's what I've got to do. But the command is to go into all the world. I can't meet that. That's one of the Bible's infinites. Right? Or what about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and about verse 48? He says, be you also perfect as your Father is perfect. You ready for that? I say, I've got to because I owe a debt. A debt that I must pay back. But there are these infinites. I know I can never do that. How do I deal with that? Back to the text. So here's what Paul says. He says, I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Now get that clause, as much as is in me. That is recognition of the fact that he's not going to be able to match up to the infinites, the infinite things. And this is how you and I can live our lives. This is how we can deal with this. So the point is that I've got to be faithful. The point is that I've got to give him what I've got. Now you can apply this in a secular way too. Suppose you had a man who owed you $75,000. Some fluke, some arrangement, and he owes you $75,000. And the truth is, he only makes $200 a week. He'll never pay it. I mean, unless something dramatic happens in his life, he's never going to be able to pay back that $75,000. Which would you rather? Would you rather the man ignore you, maybe move to another city without informing you because he just doesn't want to be around you? He's nervous around you because you're going to raise this subject, or just looking at you makes him think of this debt he owes you. Would you rather that, or would you rather him come to you and say, I owe you this $75,000, and I make $200 a week. I want to know, will you work out an arrangement with me? If I pay you 10% of what I make, and I'll bring it to you every week or every month, would you be satisfied with that until the debt is paid? Now in your heart, you're going to say, you know what, you ain't never going to pay that $75,000 off at that kind of money. You might say that, but which of those two situations would you prefer? And the answer is, of course, the second one. I would want that man to do what he could. I would want to see in him that he was doing his best. And that's what I would want to do with reference to somebody that I owed. We look to God and we say, I can't match up to the infinites, but I owe this debt. I owe the debt of my soul, my whole salvation. I can never pay this. And Paul says, so as much as in me is. Now, having said that, Christians, we get to this point of saying, does this reduce me down to where I don't feel a sense of anything, any duty or any debt? No, it's the opposite. I do have a sense of debt. And that's the point. It's the motivation that I have. I need to feel a burden of debt to fulfill my duties to God. It comes true with reference to my giving. How much money should I give in my contribution? Well, you of course know how the Bible lays it out in 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him store as the Lord has prospered him, as the Lord has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. That is to say that different people have different abilities, and we give as we have abilities. But the point is that everybody ought to have the same sense of duty, the same sense of debt to what God has done for us. And in our giving, that should be reflected. A person who says, you know, a person who doesn't give as he should, as he's been prospered. The problem with that person is he doesn't feel a sense of debt. We have a gospel meeting, you know, and sometimes we'll have 60% of the congregation that won't show up for our gospel meetings. What's the problem? I say to you that the problem is that people don't feel a sense of debt. If we don't feel like we owe him anything, it's going to be reflected in the kind of service we offer to our Lord. What about the way that we study the Bible? I suppose it's easier, much easier through my life if I just let the preachers or the teachers do the studying, and I can just be sort of spoon-fed from that. And I understand that preaching is important. Believe me, I do. And Bible classes are important. My point is that what happens to a man when he starts believing that he has a sense of duty is pretty remarkable. Granted, he added this, as much as in me is, that quantifies it so that I'm not going to go crazy with this notion that I've got to be perfect and I cannot be perfect. And he's not driving us crazy here. What he is doing is motivating us to do the best we can. He's motivating us to have a sense of debt and a sense of duty as we carry out our responsibility to God. Now, let's continue. I am ready. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. I like that. In my Bible here, I've underlined, I'm ready. Because it's a spirit. It's the spirit, again, that comes from knowing that I owe debt to my Lord. You're not going to have to beg me to come to worship. And I know that I'm talking tonight to people who are here on Sunday night You know, what are you doing here? You know, you could be doing something else. And the answer is that you love God. The answer is that you love His Word and you love His church. And so you prioritize this. I mean, you've got a work week. You've got to start tomorrow. And you're going to be very, very busy. But you take time out today. And here you are. Praise God for that. And I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for your commitment. This says, I'm ready. When I was a boy, we had elders in the church who would come to the kids, the boys, and in reference to leading in worship would say, never say no. Anytime that you're asked to do something in the church, you're asked to lead a prayer or you're asked to read a scripture or whatever it is, never say no. Always say yes. And Paul's attitude here is, I'm a debtor, I'm going to do the best I can, and I'm ready. I'm ready now. It is interesting in the Scriptures to find those passages which say that I need to be ready now, or that I don't have a tomorrow promised to me, and if I'm going to do the good, I've got to do it now. The reason why that's critical is that very often, members of the church have this idea that says, I'm going to be a faithful Christian, a really involved, devout Christian, but not now. I mean, I plan to be. One day I will be, but I'm not doing that now. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What about John 9:4? I love this. My Lord said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. Oh, there's the secret. Don't you suppose a whole lot of folks have left this world intending to live Christian lives like those who believe they owe a debt to the Lord? They intend to live those dedicated Christian lives who never really get around to it. Because those things which prevent, those busy minutiae things that keep us from doing our duty to our Lord, hold us back. Paul says, I've got a debt to pay. As much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. And then he says this is my last point. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then you know what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news of Jesus, that He came to this earth to die for our sins so that we could have eternal life. He died vicariously in our place. We deserve to be lost and damned because of our sins, but because of Him, that's not going to happen. And we come to Him on His terms. We obey His gospel, and as a result, we have eternal life. That's the gospel. That's the good news. But now, why would He say this? Why would He say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel? Why would anybody be ashamed of that? Why would anybody be ashamed of good news? Could you answer that? What would you say? Why would anybody be ashamed of the gospel? I think there are two or three reasons. One is that the world always hated Christ. Now, when I say world, I mean the mentality, the disposition that is opposed to Jesus Christ in the world. So 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's that mentality, the disposition against Christ that's always fighting Christ on this planet. It's not the same as the actual world. You know, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When I talk about the world, I'm talking about that disposition which is opposed to Christ, which is always going to be typical of the world. Right? And so Jesus said, if the world hates you, it hated me before it hated you. That would facilitate a man like Paul making this statement. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why would you say it? It's because so many people are ashamed of it. Because it's attached to Christ. And Christ is demanding. Christ shines the light on who we really are. And if you want to be a Christian, you have to come clean. You got to come to him on His terms and repent of your sins. Which is to say, I've got to acknowledge that I have them. And I've got to acknowledge that I've strayed from what is right and be willing to get back to what is right and to live according to His will. And people hate the gospel. They hate the gospel because they hate Jesus Christ. It's always going to be true, you know. Why would He say this? Why would He say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel? Because the gospel is exclusive. I mean, there's an exclusivity attached to the gospel. Please appreciate the weight of this point. is that Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, listen to this, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. If you believe the gospel, then you've got to believe that verse. And if you believe that verse, do you understand what you've just said? It says that those people in the world, all of those people in the world who reject Jesus Christ are lost. They will not go to the Father because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. Do you know what you just said? There's an exclusivity. There's an exclusiveness to the gospel. How would you respond to that?
Well, it's just not fair. I'm just not going to save you. What
about all the other world religions? What about all of those? How can we possibly say that we think this is the only way to the Father, the only way to eternal life? Look, it's just like this. The cross of Jesus Christ was never a compromise with the world. It was always an ultimatum. It's an ultimatum. It's either by the cross or we go to hell. It's the cross or we're lost. The cross or we're damned. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is offered to us to save us from our sins. People don't die and go to hell because they reject Jesus. They die and go to hell because of their sins. Jesus is offered as a life preserver to a drowning man. Will we accept the salvation or not? And I hope the answer is yes. I know that you have. The point I want to make is the reason that the Apostle Paul would make such a statement as, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, is because many people are, due to the exclusivity, the narrowness of the gospel. It is to say that the only way home is through Jesus Christ. May I ask you a question? Do you believe that? Here's the summation of this short sermon. In Romans chapter 1, 14 and 15 and 16, the Apostle Paul gives us a spirit that I want everybody in this room to have. Will you adopt this in your life? Will you just glue it into your soul? People say, I go to church there. That's really different from what I'm talking about, isn't it? Or, I'm a Christian. Good, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you understand this concept or that you've adopted it. This is a motivating spirit, a matter of the conscience. Do you have this in you? Do we own this? I'm a debtor. I'm telling you, there's a difference in the way that a man worships when he views himself as a debtor and when he does not. There's a difference in the way he prays. There's a difference in the way he gives to the church. There's a difference in his attendance patterns when he appreciates the fact that he owes so very much. And Paul said, so, whatever I've got, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. And I'm not ashamed of it. I don't know about you, but just sends chills over me to hear those words that a man would be ashamed of the gospel. As the old preachers used to say, I'd be ashamed to be afraid and afraid to be ashamed. But we're not ashamed of the gospel. Just as it's written, just as it is, we're not ashamed of it. And we're going to spend the duration of our lives encouraging people to obey the gospel. We're never going to be ashamed of the gospel. We're never going to be ashamed of our Lord. Because He is the hope. He is the only hope. He is exclusively the hope. And without Him, there is nothing but being lost. You've been very kind to listen. Somebody here wants to obey the gospel? Now would be a great time. Obey the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. There's no way home except through Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and confess Jesus and we'll baptize you tonight. If you need the prayers of the church, now would be a great time. Let's stand and sing.
Yeah.
hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.